Let us pray together. Father, as we look at the topic of worry this morning, please speak into our minds and into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And I hope you're enjoying your Valentine's weekend. This certainly seems to be the season of storms, and I hope that you're not too worried about them. Worry and anxiety is so common in our society today. Perhaps we worry about the future, what will happen to us when we die, or about health or financial problems. Perhaps the younger ones, for the younger ones, there's worries concerning homework or friends. Indeed, during the week, I found that I was worrying a lot. And I was worrying about giving this sermon, which was a bit ironic because the topic was not to worry. But we're all works in progress, and God knows how we struggle with worry from time to time. So let's look at our reading from Matthew chapter 6 and see what we can learn from Jesus about worry. Verse 31, Jesus says, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." Jesus is here sitting on a mountainside, teaching his followers about the goodness and the care of God. And he reminds them that they don't need to worry, but instead to seek and to keep on seeking God. I want to share with you a little story that might help us. Long ago, in a certain valley, there was a village, and life was tough there. The people, young and old, worked hard, and there was a good sense of community, and the people just got on with life. However, they had a harsh landlord, and the landlord of the village lived far away. He demanded his taxes, and he was very cruel and without mercy, and he would often take their children for himself if they couldn't pay on time. The villagers just hoped that as long as they could keep on the right side of the landlord, life would be bearable. Then one day, a prince rode into the village with his band of followers. The prince was strong and upright, but he had very compassionate eyes. He announced that he had a plan to overthrow the cruel landlord and to set the people free from their misery and bondage. He wanted the villagers to follow him and to join with him on a great march to liberation. Everyone was wanted. Everyone was invited. Victory was inevitable, but it wasn't going to be easy. Now the prince, he wasn't going to force the villagers to follow him. They could decide for themselves what to do. So what was their response? Well, some of the villagers worried that if they left their livelihoods, they might have nothing to eat, or what would they wear? They didn't have many spare clothes, and they certainly had no armor for a battle. But the prince reassured them that he was good, and that if they joined with him, he would look after them. He would provide their food and their clothing. But some of the villagers were still unsure. They worried about the future. Would they stick the pace? Or what if they or their children got sick? What if life outside their village was too tough? Some argued that they should stay in their village rather than risking everything with the prince. The prince knew their worries and their fears. He promised that if they followed him, he would never abandon them. He would always be with them and see them through every challenge that they would face. He said there would be victory and a much better life with him. So some of the villagers decided to follow the prince, while others decided to stay where they were and to carry on as usual. Now that is just a made-up story, but perhaps it helps us to understand what Jesus is teaching. Jesus is like the prince who has come, who offers us freedom from bondage. And for those who follow him, he promises to provide all that we need so that we can be free from worries and anxieties. In this passage, Jesus teaches three things about worry. First of all, he says worry is ineffective, and then worrying is harmful, and then worrying is unnecessary. Worrying is ineffective. In verse 27, Jesus asks, who by worrying can add a single hour to his life? In other words, we cannot change the future by worrying. Now, we can certainly affect our future by action, by prayer, and by planning, but worry in itself is not effective. Jesus doesn't want his disciples to be lazy, but he does want us to be free from worry and anxieties. Sometimes God provides food, and sometimes he provides work so that we can earn money to buy the food. I remember several times when I was working, and anyone who is in self-employed or in a family business know that cash flow can be a problem at times. And I remember sometimes when the outgoings were large, but the monies that were coming in were very slow, and it was a source of worry. But after praying, amazingly, there would be then a trickle of payments. Perhaps a farmer would come into the office and say he wanted to pay his bill that had been outstanding for quite a while. Or there would be a check in the post. And so with God's help, we would get over that cash flow hump. Worrying is harmful, Jesus says. In verse 32, he says that worry can send us down, running down wrong paths. You know, take for an example when we worry about going to the dentist, and we might have a toothache, but we are really worried about going to the dentist, and we put it off, and we put it off, and we put it off, and eventually we just have to go. So what should have been a small job for the dentist is now a massive job. I'm sure we've all experienced how worry and anxiety and fear have led us to make unwise decisions. And worry is unnecessary, Jesus says, because of who God is and what he promises. Jesus reminds his disciples that we have a heavenly Father and he is good, and he knows what we need as we seek to follow him. You know, sometimes I think that we worry because we think that God is either unaware or unable or unwilling to help us. But that doesn't stand up to what the Bible says. In our Old Testament reading, we heard of God who is behind all of creation, who with great care has made the animals and the plants and the sun and the moon and the stars. He is almighty. So if he's almighty, he's well able to provide for each one of his children. And Jesus tells us that our Heavenly Father knows what we need and that he is willing to look after us. In the Lord's Prayer, it starts, "Our Father who art in heaven." So Almighty God is also our Heavenly Father. I read a story about a girl who was on a plane one time, and the plane went through some turbulence, some storms, and everybody in the cabin was very anxious and worried. But one passenger noticed that this little girl seemed oblivious. She kept just reading her book. So after they landed, the passenger said to the girl, "Well done, you didn't seem to be worried about that storm. It was a bit scary." And she looked up with surprise and said, "Well, my father is the pilot, and he had promised that he was going to fly me home this weekend." See, the little girl had a great confidence in her earthly father. Now, I know that in church today, there are many good fathers. But God is the perfect father, who is more wise, more powerful, more loving than all the earthly fathers put together. And in verse 26, Jesus reassures his followers that our heavenly Father loves and values us even more than the birds in the garden, for whom he also provides. Jesus promises us that if we choose to follow him and keep on seeking his presence and his ways, our heavenly Father will look after us. He will never abandon us, whatever the future may hold, no matter how difficult the challenges and the storms that will come. We can trust him and in his goodness. Last week I heard somebody put it like this, that as disciples of Jesus, we can live carefree lives because he takes great care of each one of us. Jesus also says that there's two types of people. In verse 32, there are the pagans, he says, who run after and prioritize their own material and future needs. And then there are those who run after God and the things of God. And the priorities and focuses of the two types of people are quite different. Jesus promises provision and care for those who give God first place in every area of their lives. God will never neglect those who follow and who depend on him. And countless Christians all around the world and down through the years have proved this in their own lives. We are each created by God for a dependent, trusting relationship with God. And that's the relationship that Jesus calls us into, a living relationship with God. And as we follow him and keep on following him, our loving Heavenly Father can bring calmness and confidence into our lives instead of being harassed and worried about all the uncertainties and storms of life. When I was thinking of this, it reminded me of a coin. And on one side, we could write worries. And you know, worries can weigh us down and they can choke us. But on the other side, there's trust and trusting God and following Jesus. And as that is uppermost in our life, as we trust and follow Jesus, then our worries will subside. So let us pray. And this morning, perhaps we could have a little few minutes of silence to ponder over what we have heard, to allow the Holy Spirit to whisper into our minds and into our hearts. May the peace of God grow and grow in us as we trust in our Heavenly Father. Amen.